good morning. It's good to be with you. I need to take a glean at the new people. All the first-time campers, please raise your hand. I'm looking forward to our time on the field. Don't tell them what's happening, veterans out there. Well, it's a joy to be with you again this year, and I'm looking forward to our time here as a group and all the message that you hear during this week and the friends that you make. And some of you will grow in faith, and we're trusting that some would come to faith in Christ. So we're looking for great things to happen on campus this week. But if you have the Word of God, turn with me to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. I'm going to focus primarily on one verse in this psalm, but I want to read 9 verses, and we want to focus this morning on just one verse and try to answer one question that comes from that verse. Psalms 119. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimony and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precept diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with the uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to your word. Verse 9 again. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Well, let's open in prayer together. Father, we give thanks this morning that the God of creation is a God who is faithful and true. You're holy and righteous in all your ways, and you're a God who longs to speak. You're speaking. So we pray this morning that you would have control over this meeting, that you by your Spirit would move in our midst, that you would exalt your Son, that you'd make your Scripture clear to us. We pray for the entrance of your Word this morning, for the entrance of your Word give light, and it gives understanding. Speak, Lord, thy servant listen. In Jesus' name, amen. This verse asks the question, that's what I want us to think about this morning. I'll say it. How shall a young person cleanse their way? How can I make my life clean before God? How shall I live in a way that's pleasing to God? How shall I honor God? And so the Bible says, by taking heed according to his word, by taking note to what God has said. The one thing you need to know, and I know sometimes people don't know that because in school we're told different things, but God has spoken this world in existence, and God spoke to us in his last days by his Son. So God has spoken. God has a purpose for your life and for my life. God has a path that he would want us to go down. And so therefore, a person, a young person, or any person could understand what God desires of them. Now, I'm assuming that there are no fools in here. What do you mean, Wallace? Because the fool has said in his heart, no God. See, there are people, I'm sure, and you probably maybe met some. It's hard to believe that's in this country, that there are people who don't believe there's a God. You may have gone to a school that one of your teachers didn't believe there was a God. Matter of fact, some college professors. I was a teacher for Georgia Tech's, a Bible study teacher for Georgia Tech football team for 5 years, and there were instructors. They're at Georgia Tech, smart, intelligent people, well-educated, didn't believe there was a God. And they would mock some of the players in their class because the players believed there was a God. And so I told one of my players, I said, well, just tell me, read Psalms 14. And I was getting him in trouble. But anyway, the psalm says, the fool has said in his heart, no God. He's a fool. Why? Because we know that nothing comes by itself. So man in his being know that there's a God, but he's so foolish that he's more foolish than the devil. Why? Because the devil know there's a God. But man, sin could darken a person's heart so bad that they won't believe there's a God. And then they began to evaluate the creation by his own ignorance. And so the Bible says, and the Bible is thinking that he's speaking to people who are intelligent. And what I mean, intelligent enough to realize that there is someone that's greater than them because they didn't make themselves. And so the Bible says, how shall a young person cleanse his way? How shall you and I live in a manner that will honor God? Well, the first thing I want to talk about, that first thing you need to know, that God created you for a purpose. God created you for a purpose. You weren't just created and put there. God has a purpose for you. Well, what is that purpose, Wallace? Well, you were created for the glory of God. There's a Psalm 19 says, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. This whole creation is declaring the glory of God. Matter of fact, when spring was coming, in Louisiana and in Georgia, we have bees. And y'all know what bees say. Well, let me tell you. Somebody would say, well, bees say, zzz. No, it doesn't say that. The bees are saying, God's glorious. Why? Everything that have breath, praise the Lord. Creation is declaring the glory of God. The bees, the beautiful trees, everything is declaring that God is glorious and his design is glorious. This world is magnifying the glory of God. You and I were created for the glory of God. To give honor and glory and majesty to God. It's a great thing you were created for. You weren't just created to live and exist. You weren't created to have fun. You were created for the glory of God. And in glorifying God, you will enjoy him forever and experience life to the highest. And God wants you to know that you were created for a purpose. So I want you to understand that you need to get a hold of that, because the world would tell you that you're not important. God said you are important, but your importance doesn't come from what you want. Your importance comes because you identify with the one who created you. You were created for glory. God created you for glory. And that's the purpose. You were created to glorify God in your body and spirit. You were created in the image of God. And God wants you to know that. You need to know that. Your value as a being come from the one who created you. To not to be identified with that being is to accept a devalue of your life. Your life is valuable. Why? Because it was created in the image of God. It was created for the glory of God. And so the Bible starts, in the beginning, God. God is not trying to prove that he exists. He says, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. And you need to know that. Because you're in your generation, and probably in your schools, you'll be learning great things. But many people teach you great things, but never great things about God. So as you in your school, you need to realize, I'm here. But I'm here not to be educated into ignorance, but to understand in this education, it will help me to understand how to what? Glorify God. How should a young man cleanse his way? How should a young person cleanse their way? Well, taking heed unto God's word. God said you were created for glory. He created the world. In Isaiah, all things was created for his glory. And so when you look at the stars, or if you go to the mountains, some of you probably going to the mountains, or you go to the ocean and you see all the glorious things in this earth, in this world, the stars, they're all declaring that God is glorious. But you and I were created to glorify him more than the heavens. Why? Because God breathed in you the breath of life and you became a living soul, a soul that was created for the glory of God. That's your high purpose in life, created for the glory of God. But you also need to realize that there's a problem. We were created for God's glory, but you were born in a world that has a problem. Now, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that the world is in sin. The one man, Adam, God created Adam. And God breathed in Adam nostril the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And God put this man to sleep and took a rib from his side and created a woman, male and female, and it became one. And then God told them to be fruitful and multiply. And so marriage, you have the first marriage, and then God gave them children. But Adam disobeyed God. Eve was deceived by the devil. And God built a set of tree. You should, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you don't eat from it, because the day you eat from it, you shall surely die. So God told this tree, you can eat from every tree in the garden, but from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shouldn't eat from it, because the day you eat from it, you shall surely die. And then there's a rebel. We call the devil. Told Eve, you shall not surely die. God knows when you eat from the tree, you become as God, knowing good and evil. And so what the devil's saying, God's lying. He's keeping something back. Why? God is not good. That's the lie put in her mind. God is not good. So Eve see this fruit. And she took the fruit and ate it. And then she gave to Adam, her husband. And he did eat. And their eyes were open. And then they hid. The scripture says they hid behind some fig leaves. And then God was walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid themselves. And God said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, we heard you coming in the cool, and we hid ourselves because we were naked. And then God asked, who told you you were naked? See, Adam sinned, and in his sin, he separated his relationship with God, and he became ashamed of being in the presence of God. And God said, have you eaten from that tree? And then he does what everybody do. I'm sure these young teenagers don't do that. Blame somebody else for your fault. You've never done that for your brother or sister. Mom, I wouldn't have taken that cookie, but you had the jar too close to my hand. Blaming mom for putting the cookie jar too close to your hand. So Adam blamed, he didn't blame Eve. God, the woman you gave me. I didn't ask for this woman. You gave her to me. So the problem I'm in is because of you giving me a wife what I didn't ask for. You're the problem, God. And so what happened? Sin comes in, and then man hides himself, tries to hide himself from God, and then he blames God for the problem that he has. Maybe you've met some people who want to blame God. Well, why did God allow this to happen to me? Ran out there and broke my leg. My parents told me not to go out the house. I ran and broke my leg. Why did God let me have this? Well, hold it. Your parents told you not to go outside. You broke your leg. Don't blame God. Don't blame your parents. Blame your rebellion. No, we can't do that. That hurt my self-esteem. What am I saying? The problem that comes in, when sin comes in, the problem that comes in, I blame others, even blaming God. So Adam blames God for his sin. And then the woman said that she started talking about the devil. There was a guy named Flip Wilson. I'm telling my age now, you don't remember. Ask your parent about Flip Wilson. But he said, the devil made me do it. It's the devil made him do it. And so people blame the devil. And then God clothed them and put them out of the garden. And then God makes a promise that he's going to give a woman, the seed of a woman is going to come. And this seed of the woman is going to bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent is going to bruise his heel. And so God, in his putting them out, also provided a way that he can bring them back in. And so he prophesied the cure for man's problem. And so the problem that man has is that he's living in a world of sin. And you need to realize that you and I were born for glory, but you're born in a world that's filled with sin. So the problems in the world, they're not financial problems. They're not racial problems. They're not family problems. It's a sin problem. What's sin? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, because all have sinned. We were born with a nature to go our own way. You need to realize that. That you and I were born what I would call the Frank Sinatra disease. I did it my way. We are born with a nature to go our own way. Where did we get it from? Well, we got it from our parents, Adam. And so man was born with a nature to go his own way, and he's born in a world that's controlled by the prince of darkness, the devil. You're born into that world. And let me say this. This is bad news, but you need to realize this world is not getting better. This world is condemned. There's going to be a new heaven. This world is not getting better, and you can't make it better, and I can't make it better. But you can get people out of this world. And so God is not making this world better. There's going to be a new world. But this world that you were born in is not going to get better. It's not going to get better. Why? Because sin is in the world, and the prince of darkness, the devil who rules this world, will be destroyed. And so therefore this world is lying in the hand of the wicked one. You need to realize that. Yet you're living in a world that's controlled by sin, ruled by the powers of darkness, and you have the problem that it's going to tempt you to disobey God. You were born with a nature to go your own way, and you're in a world that's going to tempt you to put yourself before God. That's just the nature that you were born with. You say, Wallace, why are you making it so bad? Because the bad news is what needs to be told in order for the good news to be heard. The problem in the world is sin. The problem with man, that he was born with a nature to sin. The psalm said this. In sin did my mother conceive me. You're born in sin, shaping in iniquity, and in sin, your mother conceived you. You were born with a nature to go your own way. And that's the problem, that everyone was born with that. And so the problem that you're in a place that's under the control of darkness, you have a passion to go your own way, and this place that you're in can't get you out of your condition. Well, what's the answer, Wallace? Well, the answer is there is provision. God has provided. This God who created you, the Bible says, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God who created us sent his son. Jesus Christ came into the world, born of a virgin. He came into the world, and he came as a man. He came into this world to fulfill God's purpose. What was God's purpose? God's purpose was to bring a deliverer. A one who's going to solve the problem. The one who's going to be the prescription for man's problem. So Jesus Christ came into the world. Born of a virgin. Born. Like you and I was born. Born. Of a virgin. Lived a life on this earth. Lived perfectly. Kept God's law perfectly. Obeyed it in every way. Fulfilled God's command. And he died on the cross. But why did he die? He didn't die because he had sinned. He died in the place of sinners. He bore the punishment. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ bore the punishment of sin for sinners. He died. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. You know, when I was a young boy growing up in Louisiana, they would say, well, sin doesn't pay. I found out later on sin does pay. A guaranteed contract, football term. It pays debt, guaranteed. Sin, the wages of sin is death. And so sin pays wages, but Jesus Christ came into the world and he died in our place. But why is he dying, Wallace? He's paying the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ dies for sin. He lives a perfect life. He kept God's law perfectly, and he dies on the cross. Why is he dying? Because God made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. Jesus Christ came into the world, lived perfectly, and God made him to be sin. And God, this God who created us, hates sin. God is angry at the wicked every day. He hates sin, and he will not let sin go unpunished. And so God made his son sin for us. And God poured out his wrath against sin upon his son. Jesus Christ bore the wrath of God in the place for sinners. Jesus Christ bore it. God hates sin, and he will punish sin. sin must be punished. And so Jesus Christ bore the punishment of God. And so at the cross, what you're seeing at the cross, you're seeing God's justice. God will punish sin, and he punished sin at the cross. But at the cross, not only is sin being punished, God is being merciful to sinners who's willing to accept Jesus as their punishment. That's the cure. The cure is another is going to die in your place. In football, there's a person called a substitute. And the substitute is a person who comes into a game that another person comes out of the game. Jesus Christ came into the world to bring sinners out of the world. And so he's our substitute. He came and then he made the sacrifice. In baseball, we call it a sacrifice bunt. Somebody bunt the ball, and guy who's batting bunt the ball, he's willing to get out that the person in third base might come home. Sacrifice. Well, Jesus Christ made the sacrifice. In my place, condemned, he stood. He was a sacrifice. He was a sin bearer. And then he conquered man's greatest enemy, your greatest enemy, and my greatest enemy is death. And Jesus Christ conquered death. He put death to death. He died, and he physically rose from the grave. And he says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. And so God's answer and God's provision for the world's problem is a Savior. And Jesus said, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. And Jesus Christ, this man, Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. Now, why is that so important? Because when the problem is understood, the cure is available. What's the problem of many people who have not come to Christ? Maybe your problem. What's your problem? Many people haven't seen that their rebellion is against God. How? God said this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If you haven't done that, don't forget about the other nine. Why? Because if you broke one law, you broke them all. The first and great, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, that God should be loved preeminently, wholeheartedly. If you've never done that, you earn a wage of sin, which is death. You should love your neighbor as yourself. If I haven't loved my neighbor perfectly, then I've broken God's commandment. I've earned death. Thou should not lie. Have you ever told one lie? You've earned death. Shouldn't steal. Covet. If I desired something from someone else that wasn't mine, if I've desired that, then I've coveted. And guess what? I've broken God's law. God gives a law. The law doesn't save you, but the law came to convince you and I that we're a rebels against God. Born a nature to not to obey God. That's the nature that you were. I was born with. Now, those are bad news. But we're in a bad world that need to be seen for what it is. And God has an answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. God's provision for man's problem is a person, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And the most difficult thing in your day and my day is that we've heard it so much that we become numb to it. Oh, I've heard Jesus died on the cross. But have you heard why he died? And so we've heard about the story of Jesus' death. We've heard about his birth. But it becomes so familiar that it's not important anymore. It's just another story that we read when we were children going to Sunday school, if you went to Sunday school. It's just a story. It's like the three little pigs story that mom told us. Oh, it's like the story of Christmas. It's like Santa Claus. You remember mom said, but now that we've grown, it's not that important now. It's like Santa Claus, you know. Once you get of a certain age, you don't believe in Santa Claus anymore. So now that you're a teenager, you don't need Jesus anymore. That was just something you tell little children until they grow up and get ready for the real world.
become the real man, the real woman, go to college. Why? We don't need God now. Why? Because it's like Santa Claus. It's not important anymore. Now you can handle life. That can happen to us in this country. Why? Because it becomes so familiar that it doesn't become important anymore. The good news become old news. Why? Because it's something that we've heard, but we've not heard. And so, therefore, this message of Jesus' birth and his death and his resurrection becomes something so familiar that it's not important. And I want us to realize that the most important news today in America and in the world, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's the greatest news in the world. But then here's another news. The Bible says the Father loved the Son and have given all things into his hand. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God have not life, but they abide under the wrath of God. So under my voice this morning, there are two groups in here. Either one who's under the love of God in Christ, or the under the wrath of God outside of Christ. There's only two groups. One in Christ and one outside of Christ. And those outside of Christ are under the wrath of God. And that's a solemn thing. Why? Because God's wrath is poured out against sin. And I know it's not popular today. Some of you may have heard it. There's a real place called heaven. And there's a real place called hell. And real people will be in heaven forever. And real people will be in a real hell for real forever. It's real. Why? Because the scripture is very clear about it. And so therefore the message of the gospel is a message of great importance. Why? Because eternity is at stake. Not time, but eternity at stake. That's why Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he said, "What profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul?" If I could share a word of testimony to you this morning. I remember it must have been 1982, July of 1982. I was sitting in a seat out here. Came here. At that time, God had stirred my heart and I was beginning to seek life, real life. At that time in my life, I had played pro football for the Falcons. At that time, I was in my seventh year with the Falcons. I had played 2 years in Buffalo, and I was in my seventh year with the Falcons. And nice house, nice car, nice salary, secured in the world, sealed toward hell. And so I came here, sat in a seat like that, and God began to speak to my heart from his word through messages. And God brought me to a conviction of who I was in his presence as a sinner. Not as a football player, but as a person under sin. And what was my sin? I had only had one sin. I loved me, myself, and I. And I heard this verse, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." I love me, myself, and I. I was first, I wanted God, but I only wanted him to help me to get what I want. So God, I pray to God when I get in trouble. "Oh God, help me. Pray before I eat." But he was just a means to my end. And then God began to speak to me by his spirit about my sin, my selfishness, and brought me under conviction of sin and brought me to a saving knowledge of his son. And by his grace, gave me a desire to leave football and come to school here. And I stayed here for 3 years in Bible school, and now I'm in full-time ministry. But what am I saying to you? That God, in his grace and mercy, spoke to a young man who had what he considered the whole world. Success in the whole world. But had he died in 1979, he would have woke up rich, famous, and in hell. Why? Because the good news had not come to his heart. And God, in his grace and mercy, gave me ears to hear and a heart to receive, and he brought me from darkness to the marvelous light. What was wrong with playing football? Nothing. What's wrong with having Mercedes? Nothing. What's wrong with having Alfa Romeo, nothing. What's wrong with having getting free cars every 6 months because you did a commercial? What's wrong with that? Nothing. Nothing wrong with those things. What's wrong? The idolater lives for himself. And he doesn't know the God who gave him the air to breathe. He doesn't know the God who gave him the energy to run up and down the field. He doesn't know the God who allowed him to catch pass. He doesn't know the God who gives him the breath to breathe every second. He doesn't know that God. And had he died not knowing that God, he would enter eternity. But this God speaks to his heart and he comes to Christ. What am I saying? God, word, came to my heart. What profit a man if he gained the whole world, lose his soul? Ask this question. How much could someone pay you to kill you? How much would you take? Somebody said, well, I'll give you $1 billion if you let me kill you. Who would take that? So my point, what profit a man if he gained the whole world? You don't want $1 billion for your life. We'll make you the greatest actor in the world if we can kill you. Who want that? Why? Because you realize your life is more valuable than that. Because life is valuable. Your life is valuable. And what price? That's why, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? And so you realize your life is valuable. God knows your life is valuable. And God came to redeem you with something that's valuable, the precious blood of Christ. And so the good news is there is provision that those who would trust Jesus Christ would not experience the punishment of sin. We need to say that a lot these days because there's a lie of saying, well, God will not punish. He's a God of love. Yes, he is a God of love. But he's a God who is holy, holy, holy. And his holiness will not be compromised by his love. Because he's a holy, loving God. And the wonderful thing about it is that this God who is holy and just is merciful and true. And he would take an idolater at 28 years old, living for himself, and take him from his idol and give him life. Amazing grace. And that's what the gospel is. It's the gospel of the amazing grace of God. How should a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to God's word. That this God who created me has a purpose for me. This God who created you has provided someone to replace you in punishment. This God who loves you have a life for you. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants you to experience the abundant life, but this abundant life is in a person. I've come that they might have life, and if you will, a quality of life. Life more abundantly. Life to the full. And that life is in a person. How should a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to God's word. And Jesus, when he came on this earth, he said these things. He said, I am the light of the world. Young people, there's a darkness in this world, but Jesus Christ came as a light to lead you out of darkness. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. I am the bread of life. People who are starving spiritually, he says, I am the bread of life. Why? Because to eat of his body and his flesh is to live. He's the bread of life. He can feed us spiritually. I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I, the good shepherd, die that the sheep might live. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door of the sheep. You want to enter into life? I'm the door. Come through me. I'm the door. We all this morning came through the door to get in his auditorium. None came through the window or the ceiling. Not the right way. There's no other way to God other than Jesus. I'm the door. It's very important. I'm the door. He that comes through me will find life. Can go in and out and find life. I am the resurrection and the life. He was at Martha's and Mary's brother's grave, and he tells them that I am the resurrection and life. I raise the dead and I give the dead life. Jesus Christ raised us from the sin, dead in sin, and he gives us life. He raised us from being dead in sin and gives us resurrection life, Christ's life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he's dead, yet shall he live. He's the resurrection and life. He says this, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. I am the way. He didn't say I point to the way. He said, I am the way. He didn't say I come to tell the truth. I am the truth. He didn't say I come to tell you about life. I am the life, and no one come to the Father but by me. It was a guy who C.S. Lewis said in his book, Mere Christianity, Jesus Christ is either a liar, lunatic, or the living Lord. He just can't be a good man because he made some extreme statement. He didn't say, I point to the way. I am the way. That's an extreme statement for a man to make. I am the truth. He didn't say, I just tell the truth. I am the truth. It's not just what I said is who I am. And I am the life. No man come to the Father but by me. It is extreme. What about other religion? They're wrong. What about Christianity? It's a relationship with the man who is life. And Jesus said to his, the Bible says, to as many as receive him, Jesus, to them he give power to become children of God. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to God's word. What do you mean, Wallace? The Bible says, to as many as receive him, Jesus, to them he give power to become sons of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't answer it now. When did you receive Jesus Christ as a sinner that needed to be saved? When did that happen? When did you see yourself as a sinner against God, that I have disobeyed God and I am a sinner and I need Jesus to save me because I have sinned against God? When did that happen in your life? Because that's the transition. I have to see myself needing a Savior and receive the Savior for who he is. A Savior who I trust my life to. Why? Because he came that I might have life. And it's an exchange life. My sin for his salvation. Is that fair? No. It's amazing grace. I'm glad that God didn't deal with me fairly. Because if he dealt with Wallace Francis fairly, I would have gotten what I deserved. Hell. Well, what did you get, Wallace? Grace. Amazing. His salvation for my sin. Young people, that's the good news that God wants you to experience and to walk in light of. Why? Because you, to know that truth, is to be a light in every dark place you come in. And there are dark places in your high school, dark places in your community, dark places at your college, but he gives you himself as light, and you can shine. Why? Because the one who came to save lives in you, and he can shine through you only if you've taken heed according to his word. How shall a young man, young woman, cleanse their way? Taking heed. Taking God seriously at his word. Taking God's word seriously. Not just taking the Bible seriously, is that the Bible is not just the Bible. This is God's word. I take God's word seriously. How shall a young man? How should a young person cleanse their way? Taking God's word seriously. God means what he says. We'll do all that he said. And he doesn't plan to compromise. What a privilege to receive life. How shall a young person cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Then there's the last thing I want you to know. That the Bible says we're personally accountable. every person have to give an account to God. Paul was speaking to a group of people at Morris Hill, and he says, God commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day that he's going to judge the world in righteousness by this man, Jesus. And he's given full assurance. What's the assurance? He raised him from the dead. God has given full assurance that this man, whom he raised from the dead, I am well pleased. And those who receive him will receive life. Those who reject him will not have life, but they abide under the wrath of God. The testimony that Jesus Christ is all that he said he was, and all that God said he was, that he rose from the grave. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, Christianity has no value at all. If there was no physical resurrection, Christianity has no value at all. Go out, have fun, and find any other religion you want. But he did rise from the grave. And God have given assurance to all men everywhere that he's going to judge the world in righteousness by this man Jesus. How should a young man cleanse his ways? By taking God's word seriously. God's word is serious. God's love is serious. God's will for your life is serious. God's desire for your life is you to experience life and more abundantly. Well, how can I do that, Wallace? To as many as receive Jesus, to them he give power to become sons of God. God doesn't ask us to try to do better. He asks us to trust our life to him. Not a better way to live, but a better life that he gives. Your life for his life. Your life of sin for his life of salvation. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to God's word. How can a person be saved? By taking Jesus Christ seriously for who he is. And receive him. And all that receive him will experience life. Life more abundantly. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we give thanks this morning for the love of God. We give thanks for the life of your Son. And I pray this morning for all bowed in your presence that you would, by your Spirit, make clear to every heart this one who came into the world to save sinners, and that you would raise up, even in this midst, Daniels who purpose in their heart not to defile themselves, David who make the Lord their shepherd, Esthers, young women who live for such a time as this. I commit these young people into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.